Welcome to your personalized deep dive. We've got a pretty wild editorial from The Edit queued up for you today.
Yeah, this one really shifts how you look at the built environment around you.
Exactly. I mean, our mission here is to explore the profound difference between a town built on a landscape and one built of it.
Right, because most American towns today, they're a lot like a Lego set.
Built on a table using pieces shipped from just everywhere else.
Exactly. Wood from Maine, maybe brick from New Jersey, vinyl from a factory halfway across the country.
But this editorial uses the Ulster County hamlet of Stone Ridge, New York, to show us a place that is literally carved directly out of the table itself.
It is just fascinating, because when you build a town out of its own ground, you aren't just creating shelter, you know, you're establishing a material inheritance.
A material inheritance, I like that.
Yeah, the geological constraint of the area actually becomes its heritage. It shapes everything from its history to how it survives today.
And the scale of this is just amazing, because Stone Ridge sits inside a town called Marble Town. And back in the 1700s, marble was just the colonial word for limestone.
Right, and there is this massive 8-mile ridge of limestone running right under their feet.
Which is crazy. So the early Dutch and Huguenot settlers in the 1660s, they realized pretty quickly that digging a foundation meant pulling up massive amounts of that exact stone.
Right, so rather than hauling in external timber, they just stacked what they dug up.
The walls of their homes came straight out of the trench they were standing in.
Which gives us these incredible surviving structures, like the Cornelius Wynkoop Stone House.
Oh, yeah, built around 1770, right? The National Register of Historic Places calls it the finest gambrel-roofed stone house of the colonial period left in New York.
It is stunning. And just to visualize that, a gambrel roof is that classic barn style, symmetrical, with two different slopes on each side.
George Washington even slept there.
He did. And having the bedrock and the buildings be the exact same material, it achieves a coherence you simply cannot fake. It grounds the architecture in the literal earth it sits on.
But wait, I mean, I have to ask, what does this mean for the actual people living there today?
How so?
Well, does living in a 360-year-old stone house feel like being trapped inside a living history museum? Like, you know, you can't even install a modern window without ruining the vibe.
That is a very fair point. I mean, a lot of historic districts do end up feeling kind of frozen in amber.
Right, exactly.
But Stone Ridge sidesteps that trap because of its incredibly stubborn spine. Route 209, or historically, the Old Mine Road.
The King's Highway.
Yes. This 17th century road was graded directly into that same unyielding limestone bedrock.
So the road just refused to move.
Exactly. The bedrock was simply too dense, you know, too difficult and expensive to blast through for typical suburban expansion.
Wow. So because the road couldn't easily be widened or bypassed, it just never flattened the historic core.
Right. The geology essentially forced the village to retain its 18th century footprint. Roads that do not move are the spine of villages that do not flatten.
Which led to some wild trivia, too. Like in October 1777, after the British burned Kingston.
Oh, this is my favorite part.
Right. The fleeing New York legislature met in Stone Ridge for a month because it was this secure, entrenched stronghold. It was briefly the state capital.
It's incredible, but here's where it gets really interesting for today. That same entrenched footprint is what forces modern commerce to adapt.
Yeah, that was my big pushback. Like, if the road never changed, how on earth does a modern 21st century economy actually survive on an 18th century footprint?
Well, they don't fight the layout, they retrofit it. Rather than bulldozing an area for a strip mall, you have places like Davenport Farms running a fifth-generation market right there.
Oh, wow.
And the Stone Ridge Library has been operating inside its original 1798 stone wall since 1909.
That is wild. And you even have the Heisbrook House, right? A boutique inn where you're eating farm-to-table meals inside an actual 1750s stone dining room.
Exactly. The town is alive. It is not just scenery. And when architects build new residences there today, they don't just paste on a fake historical facade.
They quote the stonehouse vernacular.
Yes, meaning the traditional local way of building. They use the gambrel roofs, the specific lime mortar, the rectangular floor plans.
Let me make sure I'm translating that right. By generative constraint, you mean that because builders are forced to use the local stone, it actually sparks more creativity than a blank slate.
That is a perfect way to frame it. It demands architectural humility. Treating the landscape as a structural discipline produces an authenticity that is just impossible to manufacture.
So it's the difference between slapping a fake vintage filter on a smartphone photo versus actually taking the time to learn how to shoot on 35mm film.
Exactly. The constraint becomes the springboard. It's a powerful lesson in building with the language of a place rather than just paving over it.
Well, as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you the thought to mull over. We just talked about buildings that have stood for nearly four centuries because they were literally born from the earth beneath them.
It really makes you think.
It does. So look at the buildings in your own town today, the glass, the steel, the vinyl shipped from 1,000 miles away. If a future archaeologist digs up our modern neighborhoods 400 years from now, what will those materials actually tell them about who we were and the specific piece of earth we stood on?